I want to read from Genesis chapter 26. I'd like to just look at it from this perspective, that faith persistence pays. I want to challenge some fight in your heart during this. I want to challenge some fight in all of our hearts. You know, bad news will weaken you. Bad news, so much of it will discourage you. I mean, so much of that, especially when it's talking about what you've lost, can have a negative effect. I honest to God believe that out of all the things in the Bible, obviously this, any minister ministering, you feel that what's most important is what God's laid on your heart. The whole Bible's important. But I'm telling you, there are certain chapters that put it together. There are certain chapters that just seem to put more things together, and I believe that chapter 26 of Genesis is one of those chapters. There was a famine in the land. Now, I did not dwell on this the last time, but let's read the rest of that verse. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Two famines we're talking about. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. How many believe it would be very significant if the Lord appeared to you? I think so. And God said, now remember, he didn't have this book that we have in our hands this morning. The Lord appeared to him, and the Lord said, I mean, this is so plain that go not down into Egypt. Now, I'm not here to fight a nation. That's not what this is all about. But through the scripture, God loves people of every nation. But to go to Egypt was always the tendency of even many of God's great faith hearts. Every time something would go wrong, they'd run to Egypt. Every time something would go wrong, they'd pack up their U-Haul camels and head for Egypt. I mean, it was like a quick fix for everything that's wrong in our life right now. We're going to Egypt. But notice that. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Did you say you should never visit there? That's not what I'm saying. But if it's go not down to Tyler, or if it's go not to Albuquerque. I'm just throwing something wild. I mean, if God says, here you are, go not down to, then I think we better listen, don't you? And our tendency has been to go like gravity flow, like, you know, water takes the line of least resistance. Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Dwell in the land. I mean, don't just stay there for 24 hours mad as an old wet hornet that you can't do what you want to do. Dwell in the land. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? And he said, sojourn in this land. Sojourn in this land. And I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham, thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now notice verse 5. Because that Abraham, God bless our, the father of faith, Abraham, faithful father Abraham. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws. Get a good grip on your Bible. Don't leave home without it. You could forget your American Express card and leave home without it, but have some form of God's Word as close nearby as possible. Because the covenant promises of God's Word is the sure hope and the sure help of every child of God. Now, I want to just make a blanket statement, but I believe it's a strong statement that came to me by the Spirit of God. There always has been some kind of famine in the land. I want to say that again. There always has been some kind of famine in the land. It's either coming, you're in the midst of it, or it just passed through and you're still feeling the ravages. Study the Bible. Study the Bible. And of course, I know a lot of this came because they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord until they forgot what was right in the sight of the Lord. Then they didn't teach their children. Then their children started intermarrying with heathen. And before long, you got a mess on your hands, and God puts them in captivity for 40 years. I mean, it's just over and over and over and over again. I thought, when are people going to learn? There's only one way. It's God's way. It's not a way. It's not a good way. It's the only way. The only thing that really works is God. But, I mean, get this settled in. I mean, I know things are getting our attention more today because there's some serious things that are happening in our nation. There are some very serious things, and some people say, well, it just doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it makes a difference, especially when it happens to you. But we have some very serious things happening. It's not just the loss of money. It's things that are being put in place. I mean, abortion has just been turned loose and funded. So there's a lot of strange things happening in our land. You know, the funding of why cow manure doesn't smell good. I mean, really, that hasn't kept me awake for a long time. That's really not on my mind. Every time I drive through a feedlot city, I thank God we don't live by feedlot. But I mean, there's a lot of things more important in life than trying to figure out why animals are animals and why animals do animal things, two-legged and four-legged. But there always has been. Now, this will kind of help you a little bit. There always has been some kind of a famine in the land. Maybe a little famine, maybe a mid-sized famine, maybe a bad famine. If it's you, it's always a bad famine. There's the famine of drought, the famine of not enough water. It's hard to grow crops if you don't have water. There's the famine of not only water, but of crops, lack of food. Fruit famines, physical health. See, this is not just financial thing that I'm talking about. If your body's going through some challenges, you're feeling famine, some famine in your body. I going through a little thing with the roof company, you know, and there's a roof famine. You got a bad one, but they don't. Won't do anything about it. So I'm looking up more often than I have. There's roof famines. There's job famines. Spiritual breakthrough famines. Let me just emphasize this. Every day is not a heel-kicking day in the kingdom of God. I mean, there's days you just thank God when the sun goes down, you're still breathing. And that's not a negative. I mean, every day is not an emotional rush or an emotional high. There are spiritual breakthrough famines. I mean, there's times that for some reason, it just seems like things are in between and not quiet. I remember we used to sing a little chorus, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do. So, there's days you feel like you're just spinning your wheels. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've given, you've sown, you've done whatever, and you don't see any traction on that day. But as we've said through the years, you don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. Because to start all over again is a long journey uphill. So as we look at this portion of God's Word, there always has been some kind of famine. So I don't know whether that brings a positive or a negative feeling, but at least it helps you feel like that the whole world hasn't dropped off the planet. You haven't dropped off the planet because something's coming down. Now, there always have been some things that God's people could do to overcome their time of famine. The Bible is a book not only to stay on top, but the Bible is a book when you feel like you're on the bottom. The Bible is a book to get you back up where you used to be. The Bible is a book of hope. It's a book of cheer and joy. It's a book of hope. Oh, what a wonderful word. The word hope. That Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. And then in Acts 27, Paul, when all hope was taken away from us, torn from our hands, no hope, Paul still held on to his hope. So those are two truths that I think are important. It always has been some kind of famine in the land, and there always have been some things that God's people could do to overcome their famine. Whatever the famine may be. I mean, when you just got to blahs. As a believer, did you ever just kind of get to blahs? Leave me alone? You know? I don't want to talk right now. Oh? I need an answer. I don't care. Don't want to talk. Don't bother me. Till I talk, you don't talk. My, my. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to happy hour to get happy? Church should be the happiest hour of your week. But there's some things that Isaac did. And there are other things I could preach today, but there's a famine in the land. And I've even heard believers say, well, it doesn't make any difference who's in office. Yeah, that's a bunch of stuff. It doesn't make any difference what happens financially. Yeah, it does if it's your money. I mean, there's a lot of challenges today. A lot of challenges today. But let me tell you something, some things that Isaac did. In the midst of famine, he was a blessed man. Now, in the midst of famine, some folks say, I've got it, gonna hold on to it, ain't nobody gonna get any of it, even the church. Gotta hold on for a rainy day. Oh, what's that wet on my head? You forgot to put the umbrella up. Isaac sowed in that land. Now, we've already received the tithe and the offerings this morning. I'm not receiving an offering, but I'm telling you, never grow weary. Never stop. Never change your faith attitude toward giving to God. My father and mother filled out the tithe check before the time arrived. I mean, I know the place where it would be sitting and ready to go to church. And I can still see Dad's handwriting. Had a very unusual signature, R.V. Nichols. And that check would be there. Of course, other checks too. But you see, Isaac sowed. And you say, what's the big deal about giving? Well, let's put it this way. You save and you save and you save. And then some crooked business people and politicians steal half of it. And then you got to pay for somebody else that didn't save nothing. So I'm just not going to give. I know a preacher that went wrong. I know more preachers that have gone wrong than you do. It makes me mad as fire when I see the slippage in some people's lives. Big talk on TV, but God help us. I'm going to tell you one thing. For 45 years, Joe and I have not had to apologize to this church. For 45 years. For our conduct. For our conduct. We've not... Have I always been the best? I've done my best. But, you know, I thank God for that. And it's by the grace of God. But Isaac sowed. Well, I know a preacher went wrong. Well, I know people put their money, invested their money in a church. Yeah, I know churches that have been owned by preachers and they sell them and people come up and on a Sunday, no more church there. It's gone into somebody's account. I mean, I know. I'm, very conscious of things that happen in the kingdom. But I don't own nothing around here. Everything here belongs to the church. You'll never see a sign like that. Praise God. God has been good to us. And not bad starting from $40,000 borrowed to several million dollars assets and paid for. But we want to keep it that way. We want to keep it that way. All right, Isaac sold. Now there's something else. All right, so I put some money in the bucket. But there's something else that Isaac did. Isaac did what he could do. And I asked that they'd bring the shovel back in that we turned the dirt for our brand new Christian school a few years ago next door. Now Isaac could have said, I'm mad at God, I've given, I've sown, I've lived for God, and that's it. I'm not gonna, when they have one of those appeals at the church, I'm just gonna disappear. I'm not gonna be there. If I know it's coming, I'm gonna disappear. Boy, of all time, do you know, I believe God gives double green stamps, double flying miles. I believe God gives double for those that know it's coming and say, I wouldn't miss that for anything. If they have to be gone, they'll make sure their check is in. Hallelujah. He is all knowing, you know. But here's the thing about Isaac. All right, there's a famine in the land. Lack of water affects cattle. But Isaac did something. I have the highest respect for people that are willing to do something. Now, when I was in Bible college, Joe and I, we were just married. And, you know, I'd given up my nice room at the house. And I was doing my best to go to school. We were trying to put all the nickels and dimes we could. I remember our first anniversary, we sold pop bottles, milk bottles, and that's when you sell a bottle, and I forget what the deposit was. Got enough to go over to Dallas to Jay's Marine Grill and get their deluxe fish dinner, which I don't think the whole thing came to over $6. And put enough money in that little Ford, go over there and get back home. We were in high cotton, weren't we, babe? Amen. As long as we had some bottles around, we could get some money together. But I'll never forget one day, it was getting tough. And it was about this time of the year and people were taking care of their lawns. So I got one of my brother, it was James. I got, he was in the same boat. They were, you know, newlyweds. So we got in that little red old Chevrolet pickup. We went over to, around Swift and Armor in there. And we got ourselves a truckload of what they're making studies on why it smells so bad. We were glad to have it. And so we went all through the neighborhood, all through Oakhurst, selling cow manure for your lawns. Yeah, this preacher right here. And if they wanted some, we would unload it for them. And then we'd go back and get another load. You see, that's not even, Pastor, get on to something. Well, that was life. And my hands were not too good to load up a truck with what they're making studies on today to try to figure out why it smells so bad and then charge you in, charge our grandkids with paying the bills. What I said I did, that's all I knew to do. That's all I knew to do at that time, going to Bible school. We did it. And the thing that I want to say to you today, do what you can do. Give what you can give. And I'm not leaning on anyone today. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people say, well, oh, what's happened to me? Yes, we've all been there. But the Bible said that Isaac and his men dug a well. And they dug until they struck water. And water meant you could feed your cattle. And every time they would dig a well, here come the Philistines, and they'd say, that's our well. And they've got their attorneys with them. And they've got the sheriff, and they've got whoever else. And they said, get off our property. That's our well. real life. Now, Isaac could have started a war about that. He could have gotten into them with it. Because Old Testament characters, you didn't fool with them much. Especially if their name was Samson. I mean, these are the kind of guys that could take out 1,000 soldiers with an ox goad or, you know, with the jawbone of a donkey. But you know what he did? And here's the secret to keep on going. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. And I don't care how long you've pastored or how long you've been in the ministry, there's going to be some things happen that you don't understand. There's going to be some people disappoint you that you swore up and down that'll never... It was prophesied in this pulpit, some very things that happened a little over a year ago. And it was prophesied. And I thought, no. But it has happened. And you've got to forgive and go on down the road. And especially when you've done everything you know how to do to help people and it's just like nothing ever happened. But that's life. And whatever you do it in the name of Jesus. So here's the worker said, Isaac, we don't have to put up with that. Isaac's got to tell you what, guys, let's don't get even. Let's get ahead. And so they packed their shovels up, put them in the back of their Hummer Camel. Oh, did you know that in Iraq, to drive a Hummer is a status symbol? Men are real men that drive Hummers in Iraq. And they said, I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about Hummers are hot in Iraq. And they're becoming extinct in America by government mandate. All right, so Isaac said, come on, guys. God's done it before. He'll do it again. And so they moved to another location. And they dug another well. And if my counting is correct, around 7 wells were dug before they got the well of all wells. And the same thing happened. Just as sure as they got a good well, a good idea, a good invention, save the company from bankruptcy. And there are people in this room today. You help save a company from bankruptcy, and then you're the first that gets fired. Strange world we live in. But you know, it's like the old unsinkable Molly Brown. It's like the proverbial cork. They may push you under, but don't forget the fact that we're the comeback people. Your cork will rise again. My cork will rise again. We'll come back to the surface if we keep our faith in God. So, I mean, the story is repetitious. I mean, so instead of fight, instead of getting even, they got ahead. And they just moved over and went to another territory and they dug another well. And the same thing happened. You think those Philistines would get tired. But they never get tired of ripping you off. And so here they come again, and again, and again, until finally they hit an underground gusher. And that was the one they'd been looking for. And I want to tell you this morning, you know, I look across this audience, I know all of you are champions, but I know some outstanding champions. I mean, what some people have to live with, only God Almighty could give grace. Thank God for a good wife. Thank God for a good husband. I'm serious. You don't know the hell that some people live in. I know what some people put up with until God finally got enough and changed things. You didn't lose your faith in God. You didn't get sour, bitter, or critical against the church or against the things of God. You didn't understand what was happening. You didn't understand why people act like such morons sometimes, but you just kept your faith in God. You just kept saying, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding and all my ways. I acknowledge Him, and He alone directs my path. Isaac just kept on digging wells. Folks, we can never stop digging in the things of God. Not just spiritually, though. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. And you say, well, I've done all I know to do. having done all, stand. Hold steady. Having done all, stand. See, that's what it meant by sojourn here in Genesis 26:3. Sojourn. It means to dwell and hold steady. In other words, don't run away. Just stand still. See God prove His word. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sojourn. Just hold it. Don't run. Don't throw up the white flag of surrender. Just, man, I am so basic. I trust you don't think I've lost the ability to try to bring a little different something in. But I, you see, here, this is exactly where we are in America. If we don't hold our faith in God, if we don't learn to hold steady when all hell breaks loose, if we don't learn to hold steady when there's a lot of things that are wrong that are happening in our nation. But, you know, I can't do anything about it. But I can pray. I can pray. You can pray. We can pray. And I heard a statistic. I want to check it. Do you know they say there's hardly 1% of Americans that have a definite time of prayer daily? And the mess our nation's in, if prayer is one of the major tools to dig out of this thing, folks, don't take it for granted just because you still have food in the pantry and things are going well. Do you know the per capita highest praying daily time among Christians is in Malaysia? Isn't that interesting? I mean, there are enormous prayer pockets. And isn't it something? God, wake us up in America. I put myself in that circle. God, wake us up. I was talking to a very anointed, effective man who's been a powerful evangelist. And we were at a gathering a couple of years ago, or almost 2 years ago. And it was just a comrade to comrade, a statement heart to heart. And I just shook his hand and I said, for God's sake, please don't lose your fervor to win souls. You have such an anointing in this area. And his wife spoke up and said, he's a pastor now. Folks, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to cry out, God save America. Not just God save the Queen. God save America. God bring revival to America. God stir America. Wake up America. Not just to have a gospel preacher and a gospel singer come in and do the traditional revival thing. But oh God, stir us. Every church ought to be a red hot fireplace of Holy Ghost power. Had some wood that I needed to, a little wood I'd had carry over from another season. And one of those cool nights, man, I love to get a fire going. George said, honey, you can sure build a fire. I said, my daddy taught me how to do that. I tell you, man, it was the prettiest fire you ever saw in your life. I mean, it was a big honking fire. It was, and man, every time I get a little low, I'd throw another log on. Burning up some stuff that we need to get out of the way. But that thing got so hot that I started to open the glass door on it, and it didn't seriously burn, but I mean, it was hot enough where I ran in and put some ice on my hands. I mean, that handle was hot. Boy, something went through my heart and said, would to God that the fireplace, the furnace of our life, be so hot that Satan can't handle us. God, stir us. Stir the church. Stir the pastors. Stir Pastor Bob Nichols. God, stir us up that it not be business as usual. God, stir us. I had to put my glove on. I had some working gloves to be able to get that door open. Put some ice on my fingers. But oh, Isaac said, well, there's a famine of the land, but I can pray. There's a famine in the land, but I can sow. And I'll tell you something else Isaac did. There was a famine in the land, but he believed in the covenant promises of God. These promises are not something God did on a slow day in heaven. I was raised with a promise box. You need more than a promise box, but what I mean, there was always one on the kitchen table where you could take a promise out. And I know it's more than one promise. I realize that. But folks, call me a Bible thumper if you want to. I'm going to thump it as long as I have breath within me. I'm going to preach it as long as I have breath within me. I'm going to share it as long as I have it within me. When things go well, when things go ill, when things go to suit me, when things frustrate me, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Isaac was a faithful man, a faith man, and he stood on the covenant promises of God. See, here's the trickle down in this thing. You may have come from zero as far as a spiritual heritage. You can't help that. But see, Isaac is still leveraging off the covenant that Abraham made. Remember, there's been another famine, but there's been another victory. Now there's another famine. Now it's time for another victory. Do you follow what I'm saying? Be the example that a family needs to see. I remember our tour guide. He was talking about what they teach them as they're approaching bar mitzvah. And he said, what they teach young men is, young man, son, when no one tells the truth, you tell the truth. When people aren't doing right, you do what's right. Don't live your life by what someone else is doing or what other students may be doing, even in a Christian school. Son, when other people aren't telling the truth, you tell the truth. These are the charges that they, in Israel, I don't know what they do in the States, these are the charges that they give to the young men as they're approaching that very important time in life. You tell the truth when others are not. You do what's right when others are not. When others are doing wrong moral things, you do the right thing. When others aren't serving God, you serve God. Isn't that good advice? You can't help what others do. In fact, the quicker you come to the conclusion it's none of your business what other people do, the better off you'll be. It's what I do. It's not what they do. It's what I do that counts with God. So he held on to the covenant promises of God. You know, I thank God for my mother. We talk about her quite often. Mother taught in our Bible school. And she'd get excited. Woo! She had wave that little hand. And she lived her life by the word of God. But you know, there's one thing about it. My dad was an attorney, and then dad went through a time of illness and ate up a lot of reserves that they had. And you know what? Mom just got her Bible down and she said, I've been young and now I'm older. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. And I tell you, Mother kept her faith on the line, kept her faith on. She didn't die rich. Well, she did die a rich woman. I mean, not wealthy as some people would say wealthy, but the faith that we got from my parents made us wealthy in our spirits. But she didn't die broke either. Every bill was paid. Every medical bill was paid. Didn't know anybody. Had some money in the bank. And it was because of the word of God she stood on that word through those years. So, what am I saying? There's always been a famine in the land. There's some kind of a famine in all of our lands. Either it was, it is, or it looks like it could come. Who knows? But there's always been some things God's people could do to overcome their famine. You can sow. You can dig wells. You can forgive. You can keep on digging wells. Keep on standing on God's covenant word of promise. And there's something else that I tell you he did. He refused to quit. Isaac refused to quit. The bottom line, remember, is this. Isaac sowed in the time of famine. And the Bible said that he reaped 100-fold in that land. Wouldn't that seem like the last place in the world you'd expect to receive 100-fold? In that land of famine? But he did. Let me read you some. I know these are people of this world system, and I don't know spiritually about them, but I was in a day when I was dealing with a lot of things and having to make some overseas decisions and really just a lot of challenges. Let me just read straight out. Success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. Conrad Hilton of Hilton fame is responsible for that. Napoleon Hill said, effort only fully releases its reward after a person refuses to quit. Whew. Most great people have attained their greatest success just one step beyond their greatest failure. Another Napoleon Hill. Edison failed 10,000 times before he made the electric light. Do not be discouraged if you fail a few times. You remember Vince Lombardi? Green Bay Packer fame. There's only one thing that can guarantee our failure, and that's if we quit. Quit, guaranteed failure. Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. You know that's right. Why don't you quit? Because I don't want to form the habit. Norma Vincent Peale said, it's always too early to quit. Ross Perot kind of talks funny, but he said something good. Most people give up just when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the 1 yard line. They give up at the last minute of the game, 1 foot from a winning touchdown. I like this quote by Arnold Palmer. I've always made a total effort, even when the odds seemed entirely against me. I never quit trying. I never felt that I didn't have a chance to win. Isn't that good? You not only have a chance to win, you will win. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm going to give you two or three more. I'm enjoying them. Praise God. George Allen, you remember a football fan. People of mediocre ability sometimes achieve outstanding success because they don't know when to quit. Most men succeed because they're determined to. My, my. Even Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. Suffer now, but live the rest of your life as a champion. Two more from Vince Lombardi. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up. One more, we would accomplish many more things if we did not think of them as impossible. Well, I'm telling you, if life has knocked you down, it's time to get up. It's time to praise up. It's time to shout up. It's time to shout the victory. And if somebody stole your well, go dig another well. The seventh well turned out to be a gusher. See, this church doesn't go by the philosophy, if it weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all. It's time to shout the victory, saints.